Good morning and welcome to Simply Economics from Mexico. It's Monday, April 8th. On today's show, how could a conflict between Iran and Israel potentially destroy the world economy? Plus, we'll be discussing the latest developments in politics and economy on the continent. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics from Mexico. We start off with a significant development in international relations. The recent attack on the Iranian embassy in Damascus, attributed to Israel, has been considered a significant escalation. Experts warn that this incident could trigger a large-scale regional conflict with potentially devastating consequences for the already fragile global economy. Here to discuss more about this topic is our correspondent from Simply Economics from Mexico, Celeste. Could you explain how this conflict could affect the global economy, Celeste?
Por supuesto, David. Un conflicto abierto entre Irán e Israel podría tener un impacto significativo en el mercado del petróleo. Mark Ayoub, investigador libanés sobre política energética, advierte que cualquier escalada podría ser mucho peor de lo que hemos visto en las tensiones del Mar Rojo. Si el Estrecho de Hormuz entra en juego y si Irán logra cerrar el canal de Hormuz, los petroleros del Golfo no tendrán salida.
¿Y cómo han reaccionado los precios del petróleo a este incidente?
Los precios del crudo han estado subiendo incluso antes de la posible respuesta de Irán a Israel. Inmediatamente después del ataque, los precios del crudo Brent subieron un 1,03% hasta $87.90, mientras que el West Texas Intermediate se disparó un 1,45% hasta $84.38. En total, los precios del petróleo han subido ya más de un 10% este año. Según Ayoub, podríamos ver el precio del barril superar los $100 e incluso alcanzar entre $140 y $150.
¿Y qué implicaciones geopolíticas podría tener un recrudecimiento de las hostilidades entre Irán e Israel?
Un recrudecimiento de las hostilidades podría tener consecuencias geopolíticas significativas, afectando a los vecinos de Irán e Israel, incluyendo Egipto, Turquía, Jordania, Siria, Irak y Líbano. Rodney Shakespeare, profesor visitante de economía binaria en la Universidad Trisakti de Yakarta de Indonesia, advierte que una serie de consecuencias negativas podrían destruir el orden financiero establecido.
¿Podrías profundizar en eso? ¿Qué tipo de consecuencias negativas podríamos esperar?
Shakespeare advierte que debido a los enormes niveles de endeudamiento, se acerca el momento Minsky, un colapso repentino e importante del valor de los activos, y grandes áreas de la economía mundial se verán gravemente afectadas. Los países muy endeudados podrían arruinarse. El oro y el petróleo podrían duplicar su valor. Los gobiernos se verán obligados a imprimir dinero, lo que provocará una inflación de precios, al mismo tiempo que la demanda disminuirá.
Eso suena bastante grave. ¿Cómo se espera que evolucione la situación en los próximos días?
La situación es extremadamente volátil y podría cambiar dependiendo de la respuesta de Irán al ataque a su embajada en Damasco. El doctor Mamdou Jeh Salameh, economista petrolero internacional y experto en energía global, advierte que una escalada entre Israel e Irán podría sumir al mundo en una desastrosa crisis energética. Los precios del petróleo podrían subir hasta $120 el barril.
That was Celeste, our correspondent from Simply Economics, from Mexico. Thanks for your analysis, Celeste. Now let's shift our focus to the economic and political landscapes in Mexico and El Salvador, two countries with very different leadership styles and challenges. Mexico, a country known for its vibrant culture and strong national spirit, attracts foreign investment in various economic sectors. On the other hand, El Salvador, once considered highly insecure, has been transformed into perhaps the safest country in the continent under the leadership of its young president, Nayib Bukele. Here to delve deeper into this is Abby, another correspondent for Simply Economics from Mexico. Abby, can you give us a brief overview of the current political and economic situations in these two countries?
Certainly, David. Mexico, with around 127 million inhabitants, is a significant provider of various products to the United States. Its current president, known for his daily program La Mañanera, is popular among the lower-income population due to his social programs. However, he faces serious issues with the United States over the handling of drug cartels in Mexico. El Salvador, a smaller Central American country, has seen a dramatic transformation under President Nayib Bukele, becoming perhaps the safest country in the continent, which is crucial for investment.
Interesting. And how do these leaders interact with the United States?
Both presidents have criticized the U.S. government in various forums and for different reasons, but their relations remain cordial. Bukele recently had serious words against the U.S. over its relationship with Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro, while Mexico's president has had issues with the libertarian president of Argentina, Javier Milei, and a serious problem with Ecuador over granting asylum to Rafael Correa's ex-vice president.
And how do these leaders' styles and policies impact their respective economies?
Mexico's president is a left-wing populist, while El Salvador's president is a popular statesman, although some label him a dictator. Their differing styles and policies have significant impacts on their economies. Mexico continues to attract foreign investment in various economic sectors, while El Salvador's transformation into a safe country under Bukele's leadership has made it more attractive for investment.
And what about Guatemala? How does it fit into this picture?
Guatemala's situation is quite different. The current president identifies as a social democrat or center-leftist, promoting dialogue and fighting corruption. However, he faces internal problems with his team's inability to execute and issues with the use of public resources. He has the opportunity to fulfill his promises by managing programs that allow the country to progress, providing legal certainty to investments, attracting foreign investment, and improving public management in various ministries.
Abby, thanks for that comprehensive overview. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics from Mexico. We'll see you back here tomorrow.